We invite all of those people that have heard this message to do as the Bani Israel did when they marked their doors, marked their homes with the blood of the Lamb. We invite them to write in this day and age Al-Bay'a Lillah on their doors in order that the punishment may pass over them. Write on their doors that allegiance, that kingship, rulership is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that when the punishment befalls these nations, that it can pass over these homes, because certainly God would never punish a home in any of these places that was believing in the supremacy of God and declaring that they believed in the supremacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Ilayhi al-mahdina wa salam taslima. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear sister and companion, Leila.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wasadik, and thank you for having me here. It's my honor.
The honor is all mine. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.
So today we want to talk about a little bit of a serious topic. Due to the events that are taking place around the world. And that is the topic of divine punishments that befall mankind. As we can see, the state of the world is in a state that we have not seen it before, definitely not this generation. And even the experts or the so-called experts are saying that they have not seen anything like this. For example, in the case of the hurricane that is right now striking the state of Florida,
yes.
They said that this is a 1 in 1,000 years hurricane, or a 1 in 1,000 years event. We see wars, we see rumors of wars, we see people dying like they've never died before, and things progressively, continuously, are becoming more and more worse, right? The world's becoming in a worse state than it was the day before. Every passing hour, every passing day, the suffering that is hitting mankind and the warnings and the bad news that we are receiving, whether it is from natural disasters or, the earth turning against mankind or mankind turning against mankind or even the animals and the birds turning against mankind in ways that are inexplicable and unexplained. When we see the world in a state like that, and when punishment begins to befall mankind, I think it's an obligation for mankind to stop and reflect over the words that have come in the Holy Scriptures before, whether it's the Torah or the Gospels or the Holy Quran.
Yes.
The words from the prophets and the messengers, in order that we can figure out where we are from God in all of this and where is God. And anytime punishments that hit mankind and mankind begins to suffer, they go into a state where many of them seek out a higher power to save them. And many more of them wonder why it is that God has not intervened to save them.
Yes, for sure.
And others wonder, why is this happening altogether?
Mm-hmm. I think that people, this is an awakening call from God. And like you said, Abu Sadiq, God is talking to them in many ways. The nature is talking to them. The humanity itself is not stable. And that's why it should be a call, and it should be something where they should stop and reflect.
Absolutely. And if we look in the Quran, we find a verse which says, "And we would not punish you, or we would not punish them until we sent forward a messenger." So now we know from this verse in the Holy Quran that any punishment that comes down upon mankind means that there, that the people who are suffering this punishment had already been warned.
Yes.
And now punishments, as we know from the Holy Quran, can be punishments that engulf the entire world. And we have an example of this in the case of Noah, right? And the flood, that story, it indicates that the flood was a worldwide flood, or was a flood that hit at least all of mankind that was alive at that time. And you have punishments that are specific to particular locations, right? Mm-hmm. And you have verses in the Quran that state and how many villages were struck, right, by our punishment. Or you have examples like the event that took place around the Kaaba.
Yes.
When you had Abraha and his elephants that were invading the area before the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi, and God brought down upon them the punishment of the Ababil birds that struck them, right? Mm-hmm. So this was a punishment that came down from God, but it was a punishment to a specific area. It was a very small area. It was against one particular army. And then you have punishments that are on larger scales, and you have punishments that befall all that is in between, all right?
Yes.
And punishments can be anything. They can be natural disasters, such as a flood or a hurricane. They can be strong winds that destroy everything, like in the case of, like the cases of Hud and Saleh. Their punishments that befell them involved these things. It can be fire and brimstone that befalls or falls down from the heavens, like it did in the case of Lut, right? Mm-hmm. And his people. Or it can be also the sword, war. Now, war can be a punishment also, that is a divine punishment. And we've seen God use war and use the swords of the, even of the oppressors and the armies of the non-believers as forms of punishment against believing people. You see this, you've seen this in the case of the children of Israel. This has happened on multiple occasions where God used, for example, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, or he uses the Assyrians to enslave or to exile the Israelites. He used the Egyptians as well as a form of punishment. Due to, according to the narrations, due to Sarah, when she was given the glad tidings of giving birth to a son, the narrations state that she laughed. And because of this laughing that she did, and her apparent non-belief, right, or the casting of doubt concerning the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God had ordained that a punishment would befall Sarah through her children, all right, for 400 years, and that was their enslavement in Egypt at the time. You know, we also see that the Christians had believed that the God had punished the Israelites by banishing them from the land, from Israel, for almost 2,000 years and destroying the Second Temple at the hands of the Romans as a punishment because of their crucifixion of Jesus Christ, or their attempted murder of the Messiah, Jesus, that was sent to them. So punishments come down, we see, and punishments can be natural disasters, or it can be even the use of animals. We have biblical stories where prophets, such as the prophet Elijah, in other sources it is the prophet Elias, right, who is walking by, and you have children that are mocking him, and they're calling him baldy, and he places a curse upon them, and basically bears end up coming forward from the woods, and they end up destroying these non-believers that are mocking him. So you have animals turning against mankind as a punishment. You have examples of natural disasters, of floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, things of the sort that come against mankind. And you have also cities that are besieged and people that are exiled or displaced from their homes, or they're murdered, or they're captured by foreign armies, or they're raped by them due to their non-belief. And the common thread that you find in all of these events is that they were previously warned by a particular messenger. They reject the messenger, or they ignore the messenger, or they don't even recognize, or they're not even aware of the existence of the messenger, because they're too busy, like they were in the days of Noah, partying or getting married or chasing after dunya, and thus the punishment engulfs them or befalls them. So when the believer sees that the same circumstances that existed in the previous nations is going on today, when they see that they are being hit by strong winds, when they see that they are being attacked by water, floods, hurricanes, when they see that they are being besieged by armies, being displaced, the believer must accuse his own self for several reasons. One is the verse which we mentioned, that God does not bring down a punishment upon a people until he sends a messenger first. So the believer has to say to himself, wow, well, there must have been a messenger that was sent to me that I did not recognize, or that my people ignored, or perhaps even, God forbid, we've imprisoned or we've killed, right? Mm-hmm. So he has to wonder, he has to stop, he has to reflect, he has to accuse himself. He cannot just place himself in the position of the oppressed.
Yes.
And that's too much what we find happening in this day and age, is that the person says, oh, well, the Israelis are oppressed, you know, and that's why this is happening against us. We're the victims. We're being transgressed against. But, you know, and vice versa. The Israelis might say, or the Ukrainians, or the Russians. But the believer, the Christian, the Jew, the Muslim who truly believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, must stop and reflect and accuse his own self and his own people, that perhaps there was a messenger that was sent to us that we did not recognize.
Yes.
And this happened. The Jewish people, you know, according to the Gospels, they were sent Zechariah, and they were sent John the Baptist, and they were sent Jesus the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And John and Zechariah were sent before Jesus. And most of the Jewish population did not recognize Zechariah as a prophet. Not the Zechariah who wrote the book of Zechariah. He lived much, you know, hundreds of years before. We're talking about Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And most of the Jews didn't recognize John the Baptist. Rather, the king of the Jews at the time had John the Baptist, the messenger, killed, as did they have Zechariah killed, before the coming of Jesus the Messiah. And so when Jesus was sent, it was kind of like the final straw, the final messenger. And so there we saw the Jewish people were sent three messengers according to Christianity. All of them they rejected, and that in the end resulted in the absence of prophethood and revelation from them, God turning his face from them, and they ended up losing the temple, and it was attacked, and they were scattered and exiled all throughout the lands, not to re-enter Israel again until thousands of years later, almost 2,000 years later. And the same thing took place with, you know, Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, alayhi salam. And we've spoken about that in many episodes, how they slaughtered the descendants, the rightful heirs after the Prophet Muhammad. And we spoke about the invasions and the oppression and the state of loss that the Muslim nation has been in ever since.
Yes.
Now, there is another verse in the Holy Quran that grants hope, but it is also equally as scary. And that is in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 33. And it pertains to this. The verse from the Quran says what? It speaks about punishment. And God states, and I will not punish them. We will not punish them so long as you are in them. Meaning the messenger is in them, right? Or it could be understood as the believer is in them. But it is about particularly the messenger. And we would not punish them so long as they are repenting. Okay? Yes. Meaning the disbelieving nation.
Yes.
And so this gives us hope because it shows that if the people that are being punished or about to get punished would just turn and they would start to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then being in the state of repentance would be sufficient for that punishment to be lifted from above them. And so those people that are now in Gaza, in war zones that are being struck or about to be struck by hurricanes or tornadoes or other natural disasters, the one thing that they can do is they can do like the nation of Jonah, Yunus alayhi salam, did. And as the punishment is overshadowing them, they can turn into a state of repentance, and that would push away the punishment from above their head. And so this video that we're recording right now, it's also, I hope that it is a cry and it is an announcement and it is an advice from an advisor who wishes nothing but goodness for all mankind, whether they be Jewish, Christian, Muslim, or Buddhist or Hindu, even the non-believers and the atheists. We invite any of them that are affected by what is going on in the world to turn to God and to repent for their disbelief and their rejection of God's prophets and their messengers. And the scary part about that verse is the fact that in the verse it says, and it's speaking about the messenger, that we would not punish so long as you are in them. And so when the punishment befalls a nation, it means that they no longer have that messenger from God.
Mm-hmm.
And it means also that they don't have a single believer in that nation left. And the nation that's being punished does not have anyone that is repenting either.
Mm.
And that is the great tragedy and the state of a nation that is being punished, because God would not punish the nation if they had a messenger that was in them, right? And I draw your attention to the story of Abraham in Genesis, when God had announced that the punishment was going to come down upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham begins to interject. He begins to intercede for the nation of Sodom and Gomorrah. He doesn't want that the punishment come down upon the people. The messenger is merciful with the disbelieving people, even though they had done so much wrong. And he asks God, he says, God, but what if there's 50 people that are in that nation? Would you still punish them? And God says, no. For the sake of those 50 people, I would spare the entire nation. And so here we go. We have an example here that God would not punish a people that have in them believers. So for 50 believers, God could spare an entire nation, right?
Yes.
From the punishment. And then Abraham in the story begins to proceed and say, well, what if there's 45? And God would say, no, even if there was 45, I would spare them. Well, what if there was 30? Even if there was 30, God says he would spare them. Even if there was 20, Abraham asks, God says, for 20 people's sake, I would spare the entire nation. And it goes down to 10. And then in the end, we find that even if it was for one person, one believer with God, one person who is repentful, is enough that God would spare the punishment from coming down upon the entire nation. And that is the reason why God was so insistent that he removes from the disbelieving nation the believers before he brought down the punishment. And we see that the angels go into Sodom and Gomorrah and they seek out the only believing family that is there, and that is the family of Lot, right?
Yes.
And they proceed to tell Lot and his family that the punishment's going to come down. إِنَّ مَوَعِدُهُمْ الصُّبْحَ لَيْسَ الصُّبْحِ بِقَرِيبٍ. Verily, their appointed time is in the morning, is not the morning very near. And so they pull Lot and his family out and they begin to direct them outside of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's only when they leave Sodom and Gomorrah and they're commanded not to even look back at them that the punishment comes down upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was at that point that when the wife of Lot disbelieved by disobeying the command of the messenger, she too was engulfed by the punishment and became a pillar of salt. And so, Leila, we see there that, God does not bring a punishment down upon a nation if they have a messenger in them, or they have people that are repenting, or they have any believers that are in them. Okay? There are instances or circumstances, okay, because you might have people that would say, well, I'm a believer, or they might see this message here and they be convinced that this message is the truth and they want to repent, or they want to escape outside of the nation that the punishment is coming down upon. Yes. And that is definitely the advice that we would give anybody who is in a nation that's about to befall a punishment. We ask them that they leave from those people who have rejected the messenger and go away before the punishment falls down upon them. But if they can't, what should they do? Well, we have an example of that in the Bible and in the Quran, of a people that were believing people and they were enslaved by Pharaoh in the time of Moses, and they were not able to leave at that moment because Pharaoh and his army would not allow them to. So Moses informed them, he told them, because God had commanded them to warn the Israelites that there was going to be a punishment that was going to befall upon all of Egypt. And that was that the firstborn of every human being and every animal was to die, right? And then he tells them that if you don't want to be from those who are counted, of those who, if you don't want to be of those who are afflicted by this punishment, then you are to sacrifice a lamb and, wipe the blood of the lamb over the front door in order that the angel of death pass over, or the punishment pass over your house and doesn't afflict the houses of the believers while afflicting the houses of the non-believers. That is something that they did in order to escape the punishment. And so there you have an example of a punishment befalling an entire country, but you having it passing over the believers.
Yes.
And we find that the reason why the punishment would always strike down was because of their rejection of the messenger and the message which the messenger brought. And the message which the messenger brought or brings always in every single story from the time of Adam all the way till the time of Muhammad up till now is that they are calling towards the supremacy of God. They are asking the people, right, to believe that God is the one who appoints the ruler, God is the one who appoints a messenger, and that it is obligatory that the people obey this messenger.
Yeah.
Now you have in Islam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, he comes, he has the Quran. The Quran says that we have not sent a messenger except to be obeyed. The Quran says we are the ones who appoint a ruler or a caliph or a successor in the land, and this successor is to be obeyed. God is the one who appoints the ruler. In the Bible, we have the exact same thing. It is God who chooses and anoints and appoints the divinely the appointed king or ruler, we find that he's the one who sent for Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the King of the Jews. That's literally his title. And it's upon mankind that they obey Jesus, that they follow him if they want what's good for them. And they should reject the tyrants, whether it's the Romans, right, who are occupying the land, whether it's Caesar, or whether it's the false priests and preachers, the religious body that is supporting a false king, the false king like King Herod, yes, who was living at that time, who was killing the prophets and messengers and oppressing the people and was not appointed by God and calling the people towards polytheism and breaking the rules and the commandments of God. We find in the Torah that that's the message that the prophets and the messengers were constantly calling towards, that the rejection of the Israelites, of Samuel and the divinely appointed kings, is what offended God so much. And they demanded that God appoint over them kings. We find them time and time again going astray. And they're the ones who are following rulers that were not appointed by God and rather appointed by man. And that's what ends up causing in the end the punishment to come down when these false kings and rulers lead the people astray and drag them into wars and cause them to have upon themselves the sins of that king. So when they follow a king that's not appointed by God, they receive the curse of God for every sin, for every wrongdoing, for every breaking of a commandment of God by that ruler, because they supported that ruler. And because the prophets have said that if somebody is killed in the West and somebody in the East is pleased with that, well, then they partake in the punishment of that individual. Think about that. And just by being pleased by their actions, they become partners in that. And so the same thing is true definitely for a people that vote for or support or prop up a tyrant. They have to share in the punishment which comes as a result for that. And God is always just. And that's a very important point too, because it is not just that God is punishing the people for the sake of them rejecting the messenger. It's not just a matter of, oh, you didn't listen to Noah, and so therefore I will punish you because I want you to become a follower of this religion by force. It's mm-hmm. not the case. Mm-hmm. But what happens is that when the people are doing sin, they earn upon themselves, right, the karma of that sin, the punishment for that sin. And I think that that's very interesting, and that we should reflect and look at what's taking place in Florida right now. Yeah. You have millions of people that are being displaced in a state that has in it a military base. They're being displaced, and they are millions of people having to migrate to other places, and they don't know where they're going to migrate to. Millions of people are being left without electricity. Millions of people's homes are being demolished, right, and destroyed. Entire cities in Florida are going to be left unrecognizable and have been left unrecognizable by previous hurricanes. And you look at what's taking place there and you say, oh my goodness, well, the same thing is taking place in Lebanon. Actually, the punishment in Florida is taking place over an area that is almost identical. It almost is equal to the area of Lebanon and Gaza that are also being demolished, and that also American weapons have caused millions of people to be displaced, right? So it's almost like these people were warned, and they had a messenger come to them, and he wanted that they, repent to God. They rejected the messenger. They rejected the supremacy of God. They supported people that were appointed by man. They supported the supremacy of man, and they earned upon themselves the punishment from God, the karma from the actions that were taken by their government in displacing and killing people that were halfway across the world. And so in order that they be saved from this punishment, they have to reject the supremacy of man and repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and search for that messenger in their day and age that has been sent to them, that is calling towards the supremacy of God, and that comes with all of the proofs of the previous prophets and messengers in order that this punishment may pass over them. We invite all of those people that have heard this message to do as the Bani Israel did when they marked their doors, marked their homes with the blood of the Lamb. We invite them to write in this day and age Al-Bay'a Lillah on their doors in order that the punishment may pass over them. Write on their doors that allegiance, that kingship, rulership is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that when the punishment befalls these nations, that it can pass over these homes, because certainly God would never punish a home in any of these places that was believing in the supremacy of God and declaring that they believed in the supremacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah, and that's a great offer that you're giving the people, that they can escape that by doing that if they truly believe that you are the man from God, and they for any reason they can't be here right now, they can still be saved. It's very just that what's happening in Lebanon and Gaza now is identically happening in America, who are the main leaders to what's happening in Gaza and Lebanon. So, SubhanAllah, God's not letting anything pass, and is showing us his might and his power in all his stories, but only if we can think and reflect and see. And you've already presented them, Abba Sadiq, this just in this episode. So even if they did not recognize that, this episode is a proof for them that it is happening, and God is just and merciful, and all they have to do is to look for the messenger of the time and not die without knowing the messenger of their time.
God bless you, Leila, and thank you for joining me. And we invite the Jewish people to reflect over the story of Saul and ask themselves whether or not they're being led into destruction and chaos by somebody who is appointed by God, or they're being led into chaos and destruction by a modern day king, the likes of Herod, who is going to, the end of it's going to result in the punishment and the wrath of God falling upon them. We ask the Christians to reflect over the words of Jesus Christ when he said that those who live by the sword shall die by the sword, and ask themselves whether or not this is something that Jesus would approve of, and to accuse themselves when they see the punishment and the wrath of God befalling their nations, and ask themselves, what has my hands put forward? We ask that the Muslims reflect over their own condition and the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, when he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that God will not change what's with the people until they change what is with their own selves. We ask them also, if they feel that they are being oppressed by an oppressor, to accuse themselves and remember the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam when he said that the oppressor is a sword, that God says the oppressor is a sword that I use to take revenge from a people with, and then I take revenge from him. And may Allah send His peace and blessings upon Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. And we'll meet again, inshallah, in a future episode. God bless you and thank you.
Thank you so much.